Well, I'm like you. I just love Christmas. I love all of those things that you've just shared about Christmas. I love when we get to give and when we get to receive presents and we get to open them together. I love that we get to sing carols together this time of year. Probably not all year, but it's good just to come together in December, isn't it, and sing a few carols. I love when you get to wear like really bad shirts. You know, like Santa shirts and stuff. I didn't wear one tonight because I thought it was probably going a little bit too far, but you've seen me wear them this month, haven't you? And also Santa hats. I mean, it's the time of the year you can just walk around the street or to the shops with a Santa hat on and no one sort of pulls you up and go, you know, are you okay? I love, this was mentioned, I love that we get to gather with family and be with family. I love that we get to, this time of the year, reflect back on the year that's been and to give God thanks for His goodness. I love this time of the year because we look forward to holidays, don't we? And I love Christmas because we get to eat lots and lots and lots and lots of food, don't we? These are all the reasons and a whole bunch more that we love Christmas. But there's also a bunch of stuff sometimes we don't really like about Christmas, isn't there? There's those crowds at the shops and there's people lining up for the seafood at like 5 o'clock in the morning in Hornsby, Westfield. There's traffic on Pennant Hills Road. Actually, that happens all year round, so that's not really any different. There's lots of expenses for the parents that come in, you know, later on in the next month or two that we have to pay off. And sometimes we do realise, don't we, that we've eaten too much and then we have to start that, you know, that new 2-week exercise program. That's our resolution. Sometimes we don't like that people wear bad, you know, Christmas shirts and Santa hats. And sometimes there's also this busyness, isn't there? As we're just trying to get everything ready for this one special day. And sometimes we just don't love about Christmas that the world just seems to go a little bit crazy from about mid-November through to this week. But here we are, Christmas Eve, and hopefully we're almost ready. And what it reminds me this time of the year is that what I really long for at Christmas is God's peace. I long for this heavenly peace where I can just stop and go, everything's okay. Everything's okay with my family. Everything's okay with my work. Everything's okay with my health. Everything's okay with my future. And everything's okay with the world. This is the peace that I long for at Christmas. And actually, the whole world longs for this peace, this heavenly peace at Christmas. A heavenly peace that we just long to come over our lives and over our family and over our church and over our community. We long for that peace for them and for ourselves. 2 weeks ago, the actor Chris Pratt, he was invited to be the MC at Disneyland's Christmas-themed candlelight ceremony. It was probably a little bit more upmarket than what we're doing here tonight at Disneyland. And this is what he said. He said, "Heavenly peace. This is a blessing for which we deeply yearn. It moves us to welcome this season with renewed sense of kindness and compassion to others. We gather at celebrations. We create memories with families and friends. We go home. The coming of the holidays," he said, "brings the promise of faith and of hope and of love. And as the Bible says, the greatest of these is love. Love that bears all things. Love that believes all things. Love that hopes all things. Love that endures all things. And love that never ends." And what Chris Pratt did in his little MC sharing of his faith talk was he brought together this longing that we have for peace, for heavenly peace. And he brought it together with this promise of God's love. This peace, which Isaiah said would come through His promised one, the wonderful counselor, the mighty king, the everlasting father, the one who would be the Prince of Peace to this world. See, over 600 years before the very first Christmas, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. He spoke of the one who would usher in peace into this world, into a world that was longing for peace to come near, to come to them, to come to us. And it's still a world, isn't it, that longs for this heavenly peace to come near. And how would God do this? How would God bring peace to this world that was so broken? Well, in the most remarkable, unexpected, and ordinary way. He would do it through a very special gift to all of the world. The miracle of a baby being born. A gift that messes with all of our expectations, doesn't it? But at the same time invites us to realize the magnificence of what had happened. An unwed couple who traveled and who were away from home and family. A couple who were totally unprepared for the birth. They arrive at a town where there's accommodation lacking and there's no other options. A less than satisfactory maternity environment. And then as the birth arrives, the only people even to recognize what had occurred were these lowly shepherds and these foreign astrologers. Messes with all of our expectations. And we hear this story and we say, surely God has got the scripts, you know, mixed up here. This is not how he planned it to be. Or was it? Maybe a helpless, dependent, reliant, curious baby was the perfect way to arrive as the one who would bring peace to the world, a heavenly peace that would change the course of our history forever. Decades later, the Apostle John would record that this birth was the result of God's great love for humanity. A love so great that he would offer his one and only Son as the avenue that all people could come to know this love. And that this gift was of the Father who loved his Son so much, but who also loves all of us as his children. The love of a heavenly Father who just wants the very best for us as his people. Again, back to Chris Pratt at the Disneyland Christmas celebration. He said, "For me, being a parent has really changed my life in many ways," and that it does. He said, "One of those ways is to understand truly the love that a father or mother could have for a child, their child. The way that we love our children, the more that we love our children, the more we'll understand the capacity of a Father in heaven to actually love us, each and every one of us, as a precious, precious creation." Friends, the Christmas story is a message of peace, and it's a message of love. It's a message of love that is so strong that God could not help himself but to come near and to draw near to us, to come amongst us, Emmanuel, to be with us. And this was the turning point, wasn't it, for our world as this God came near through being birthed into humanity and coming amongst us. A gift of love that was so ordinary in so many ways, but also which was so magnificent at the same time. The problem, though, with a gift that is so ordinary, isn't it, that we can actually miss it. We look for those postal items that arrive that are big or that are heavy. And here arrives a gift that is small and insignificant to begin with. So we can totally miss, can't we, the significance and the magnificence and the wonder as we focus on all of those other things that we love about Christmas. Good things, by the way, that God would want us to enjoy. But sometimes I know I can get so distracted and I can get so busy and I can get so tired and I can get so overwhelmed with all the preparations that I miss this amazing gift of this God who came near through Jesus. Friends, this year, as every Christmas, there's an invitation in this story for us to receive a very special gift from God. And that gift is His heavenly peace. And that gift is His amazing love. And God wants us to have it so much that He came near and He came to be with us as Emmanuel. But we can still miss knowing His peace and His love at this time of the year, can't we? James, Jesus' brother, encourages us to do this one thing so we don't miss this gift of peace and of love. He says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. This is His invitation to each of us to listen this year, and to watch, and to see, and to embrace, and to know, and to take hold of this gift to us in Jesus Christ. This Christmas, let's enjoy all those things that we love about this special time. Let's enjoy those presents. Let's enjoy those meals together, and let's eat too much, and let's enjoy the holidays. But let's also take the opportunity to draw near to God, to this Emmanuel who came to be with us, this amazing gift of hope and peace and grace and joy. Before we pray to wrap up tonight, we're going to finish with a short video where Will Small and his family will encourage us to let this Emmanuel, God with us, penetrate our busy lives this Christmas with this other story. Thanks, John.
So there is this story where December arrives, full of calendar clashes and overtime clocking, car park chaos and late night shopping, TV specials and empty stockings, feeling empty at times. We feel empty often. But there is this other story whispered at this time of year. It's the one we must unwrap, wading through ribbon and tinsel. Amongst extravagant productions, it hides in the simple. And there is this girl, and there is this promise, and in the depths of her being, something is growing. But I was lost in the other story. I was eating its pages. I was scrolling its news feeds. I was singing its praises. When a voice called out the child in me, and my feet decided to take a walk under starlight. I lost sight of the stars for so long, seen only dark night. But as I stumbled under their glow, I felt my heart expanding. I walked past billboards and bright lights and gift-wrapped mansions. I felt like I was on my way to see the powers confronted, the system come crumbling. There would be a new crown, a new throne, a new campaign title. The news feed would be hijacked. The social media would go viral. There would be fairy lights, red carpets, operatic recitals. And I found myself here with a vulnerable baby, the smell of birth and a cow trough in a forgotten shadow of the world. The king who drips planets from the tip of his tongue, knit into flesh, held by teenage mum. And this is how ordinary it was. And this is how magnificent it was. Jesus, Emmanuel, means God with us. Two stories, but really one story. We have eyes to see it. That story breaks into our own. The wonder, the awe, the baby, the star, in the concrete, the flat, the office, the chaos, calling us to become like Him who became like us. Ordinary magnificence glory in the dust. So what will you do with this story? What will you do with this baby? What will you do with the ordinary magnificence this Christmas?
It's a question for all of us, isn't it? What will we do? Will we pause and listen for that other voice this Christmas? The voice of our loving God inviting us to come near. And what will we do with the gift of love this Christmas? A gift that is to each one of us, this message of love that God loved us so much that he couldn't help himself but to come amongst us and to come near. What a gift. What I love about Christmas this year is, every year, is I'm reminded how great this love is for you and for me. And my prayer is that you would know this love come near this Christmas. Let's pray. God, we just want to thank you tonight on Christmas Eve for your great love for us. This love that we're reminded of so well at Christmas. And may we be able to cut through all of the noise of the other stories at this time of the year, to take the time and the space to hear this great message of love and to understand the enormity of Emmanuel, that this you, God, who came to be with us. And might we take hold of this invitation to also draw near to you. And may we know your heavenly peace as we do that. We thank you for your love came near this Christmas. Amen.